want something more, more meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences? Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they ever made, the purchase or sale of their home, can be both rewarding and lucrative. Exit Realty has a revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology that provides you with the tools you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call me today, Mimi Eubanks, your country realtor, at 843-730-3327. That's 843-730-3327. Or visit exitlowcountry.com/joinexit and make your exit today.
So good morning and great morning, guys. Welcome to another fabulous episode. Fabulous episode. I need y'all to mark that down. Of Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, I'm your host, Colvin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty, the Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, if this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat. Hey, our mission here is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education, guys. We are legacy building. That is what we do. Now, for many of you, hey, this may be your first time tuning in 2024. Look, it is mind-blowing that we have yet crossed over yet again. So I'm super stoked. I'm super excited. And guys, I'm looking forward to bringing you great content, great information, and most importantly, the best guests possible. And guys, today, we did not fail you, okay? So look here, I need y'all to put this one, hey, I need you to mark this one down in the Colvin got this one category, in the Colvin win, because we got a great one for you today. We have none other. Look here, we got an investor for you and somebody who teaches investors and shares. Hey, we have the guy for you. Hey, look, we have with us none other than Mike Delpree. He is with the Arizona Real Estate Investors Association. Man, Mike, how are you doing today?
Wonderful, man. Really excited to be here and thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. So, Mike, look, I know what you do. My listeners don't. If you can give them high level, hey, this is me, this is who I am, and this is what I do, I would be so appreciative. Because look here, you're about to blow their mind today.
Yes, we are. Well, I'm a real estate investor, so I like to talk, so I can go over, I can give you a long thing of how I do this, but overarching, I'm an executive director of the Arizona Real Estate Investors Association. We've been representing real estate investors throughout the state for 21 years now. So we're the largest real estate investing association in the country. There's one, a RIA. There's one in every state, so check out your local RIA for investing information. And besides that, it all started because by heart, I'm a deal guy. I'm a real estate investor by heart. Wholesaler, led into fix and flipping, led into rentals, led into short-term renting, led into raising money, led into lending money. So you just become a total deal maker overall on a daily basis. So I still do that as we speak, as well as the organization.
That is impressive. So listeners, hey, look, y'all gonna pick up a lot today. Grab your pen. So Mike, look, you're a deal guy. Okay. So What got you to this? What did you do before? What was that draw that kind of attracted you to real estate? And let's start talking about some of the stuff you've been running into over the years. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, even before, I was in the music business. I don't know if you've ever been to like New York City or any of the major markets. There's always like street teams out there. Back in the day, at least, passing out flyers and t-shirts and promoting albums. So it's always that started me into the music business, which led me into band management, throwing my own concerts, and ultimately going on tour or something. So I was always in that entrepreneur kind of world. However, I met my wife and then we had a son and then he was like 1 or 2 years old. And it's like, man, this music life isn't family life. 3 o'clock in the morning coming home, this is just not the right environment. So I made the switch to become a full-time employee at Verizon Wireless. Working, I was getting paid for 40, working for 50, got 2 weird days off, the whole just crazy. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to put in a code in a box and tell me like, oh, I only got 84 seconds to, to get back. But then some guy was like, hey, you guys paying attention to what's going on? This was like 09, right? And his houses are 15 grand, 30 grand, 40 grand. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I remember a friend, he was flipping houses in the boom, and he was houses were 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. He's making 100 grand in that world, making big money in the old boom. I was like, that's weird. Let me look into this. So I got curious, and I was also watching HGTV like we all do. You see those big checks. So it got me into this is the money. It's like really what attracted me. But I got curious between HGTV and like noticing something weird in the market. And I started doing research and getting curious to what's on something different.
So you saw an opportunity is kind of, so somebody says something that it was intriguing that caused you to explore. You found an opportunity and then you leapt in is what I just pulled and picked out of that, Mike. So your first property, what did it look like? Was it a flip? What kind of deal was it?
Well, my first wholesale property. So remember, I'm like, how do I get into this real estate world? I have no money, no credit. I work 50 hours a week. I don't know how to fix anything, nor do you want me to fix anything. And how do you even get money to buy this $50,000 house and fix it up? And it was just mind blowing. Like I'm being baffling, like how? Then a landlord, rents are $800 at the time. And then after expenses, you make $100-$200 at the end of the day. So how do you get rich for a rental property? It doesn't make sense. I didn't understand it at that time. So I found the word wholesaling. No money, no credit, make $5K in 30 days. Boom. That's me all day. So my first deal went into wholesaling. So that looked like it was in the tough part of Phoenix area. It was a condo. And I got it by putting out those little mini billboards, the bandit signs is what we call them. I pay cash for houses. So someone called that and said, hey, I'd like to sell my condo. But to give it context, this is a time of the market crash, the Great Recession, where you can go to the auction and buy, in our world, a 2002 built cookie cutter, four bedroom, two bath house for 50, 60 grand. No one wanted condos. No one wanted two bedroom anything or one bedroom. So there was more opportunity out there for investors. So I get this little two bedroom condo in a tough area. And the guy's, hey, come check it out. Call from a bandit sign. And then he's, I want 12K. And this is what you got to pay attention to in our world as investors. He says, I need to go back to Kentucky to take care of my mother in 2 weeks. She's ill. So I was like, okay. So I want 12K. I was like, okay. I didn't comp the property. I didn't know what it was worth. I just said, okay, because I put the bandit sign out and someone called me. So I didn't go anything traditional like you're supposed to. And what I wanted to get before I jump into that. And so how I found the buyer is I was once again doing research. I was on YouTube. Okay. Someone says, I was like, how do you find a buyer for a condo? They said, send a letter to every condo owner in the complex. There's 200 units. Mm-hmm. So I hand wrote 200. This is before skip tracing and all that stuff. So red pen, yellow paper. Hey, I have a unit for sale and unit number, whatever. I want $18,000. I put my 5K on it. No method to this at all. It said 5K in 30 days. So put 5K on. And then people started calling. The head of the HOA board called me and was like, I'm having a race with somebody to see who own more units in here. I'll buy it. I was like, all right, meet me at the house. So I'm at the house, the condo, and the homeowner with me and the buyer. And buyer goes, Mike, you only want 18K for this? And then I'm like, oh, shoot. And the seller's like, but Mike, you're only giving me 12. And I'm like, yeah, that's how it goes. I didn't know what to say. But the point, I say all that to say, he needed to sell.
Yeah.
He didn't want to sell. Mm-hmm. Right, there's a difference there in our world. In order to get a profitable deal, you need to deal with people that need to sell. Yes, I know it's unfortunate and it's a tough situation, but that cash is in the speed is what's saving them as to getting him to his mother in 2 weeks versus calling an agent, putting on the market, patching up the walls, cleaning up everything, getting it list ready for sitting on a market for 3 months, 4 months, whatever, because it's not a desirable product at that moment. So our quick cash, people are willing to take the discount so they can move on to the next chapter. So you want to find people that need to sell, not want to sell.
So Mike, I'm going to insert a disclaimer here for our listeners. Guys, please remember, if you're listening to this show in South Carolina or intend to make purchases in South Carolina, wholesaling is a real estate activity that requires a license in South Carolina. Okay. I've told you, I've said it before. I just repeated it. You need a license in South Carolina. If you don't have a real estate license, wholesaling is not your animal. Go hire you an agent to help you in that practice. All right. So just
there you go.
Disclaimer. Y'all heard it. Now, Mike, look, that's an interesting. That's funny because you put them in the same room.
Yes. I learned my lesson.
Lesson learned. Oh, that is hilarious. But Mike, that got you that taste. That was.
Yes.
Once, quote unquote, once you done cut the steak and got a little bit of steak. Now you're yearning for it. What did the next deal look like? What did you progress to after that?
Well, the kicker of this story, what I like to share, for especially for newer people looking to get in the business and looking, wondering how it goes. Like, so my second deal, I was driving for dollars, meaning we up and down any neighborhood, you look for the ugliest house, maybe vacant, fire damage, whatever, just abandoned. That's the type of person we would like to market to and ask if they would like to sell. So I found that house in Central Phoenix, a nice area. To make a long story short, I found it, got it under contract. And once again, I was looking for a buyer and Craigslist was a popular thing at that time. So a gentleman called me and said, hey, this is so-and-so. I was on my 15-minute break at Verizon checking my Google voice number. And it was like, and he sounded familiar. I was like, this name and voice remind me of somebody. So I called him and I was like, hey, is this who I think it is? And he's like, yeah, we went to high school together. He's Mike, what are you doing with this house? And I was like, I'm trying to wholesale it. And he's, well, I've been wholesaling for 5 years. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, he's come down to the office and let's catch up. I'm like, cool. Before we hung up, he goes, Mike, every lead, every homeowner that ever told you, bring him. I was like, why do you want people that told me no? And he's just bring him. So I bring the leads. And what happens is, I always say, I call it, he can see the invisible. So if you're listening to this and I had to go into your job tomorrow morning and you had to train me in your position and I know nothing, my hurdles, my mistakes, everything that I'm going to experience in the next week or month. Uh-huh. So he knew I comped the property wrong. He knew I negotiated incorrectly. He knew I didn't know the buyers. So he called back those 20 leads in the next 3 months. We had four deals under contract. I made close four deals under contract and closed. And I had 20 G's in my bank account because of this he experience. So what happens is, what I call that, there's a lot of lessons here, is I was a marketer. I was able to make the phone ring from my concert days and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was a converter. He knew how to analyze the deal and close it. So my marketing, his conversion equaled revenue. We became partners. He saw that because he wasn't closing deals. He couldn't get deals to close, but I brought him and vice versa. So I did 30 deals my first year in the business, him leveraging me for my marketing and me leveraging him for his conversion. So it just worked. That led into my second deal.
That idea is awesome, man. 30 deals in the first year.
I couldn't have done it myself. You know what I'm saying?
That is huge. This partnership continued for how long? Still going today?
2 years.
2 years.
Because when money gets in the picture and you both are new to it, people forget things.
Yeah, that's fair.
That handshake agreement isn't that cool anymore. Everyone forgets about that. So get everything in paper, everything in writing. I learned the quote, when you're getting into a business, nothing wrong with getting with partners. Do it all the time. I think it's a necessity. Negotiate like you want to kill each other. Run the business like you love each other. And then when everything's broke at the end, it's already on paper. There's no he say, she say. There's no 15, 20 grand in attorney fees just to talk to them for you.
Yeah, that's very fair. I've never heard that, but I'm definitely going to catalog that, Mike, because that's a very good statement there for sure. Mike, what is your driver? I mean, so you're a deals guy. You like to see things happen, all that kind of stuff, because you've been doing this for a while. I mean, you've done, if I recall correctly, and please confirm this or deny this for our listenership, but you've done over 700 deals thus far.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last 10 years, correct?
Yes.
That's a lot of houses.
I've seen a lot.
Now, you stay primarily in residential, correct?
Yeah, in small multifamily and in Phoenix and Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. All right. So you look in areas that are experiencing both have an opportunity for growth and expansion, but maybe having a slight downturn. I know Cleveland, some of those larger areas like that got hit negatively during COVID, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So there was a slight depression, if you will, in pricing in some markets like that. So that's the stuff that you target is coming back around on the other side. Is that kind of how you operate, what you target?
Well, for me, Phoenix, it's just the backyard. That's where I'm at. So this is where I assume I had to do it. So that's how that got started. And then as I went back into Cleveland maybe 3 years ago, like right as COVID started, and I was going there because the cost of Phoenix properties were increasing and the cash flow, you're losing the cash flow opportunity. So I was like, where else can you cash flow? And everyone talks about the Midwest. It's not an appreciation market, but it's a cash flow market. So that's why I went there. And I started, my goal was, let me start wholesaling in Cleveland first, start meeting wholesalers, meeting agents, meeting property managers, meeting contractors, understanding the community and everything. I started wholesaling. Then as I was wholesaling and I understood everything, then I would buy a rental. That's one thing about wholesaling, whether the market's on its way down or its way up or steady. It's sales. It's not investing. You're just riding the market. Either way, you could always wholesale if you get it cheap enough. There's always a buyer there. But I virtually wholesaled from my kitchen my first year in Cleveland. So here's another thing about joint ventures. I did it like in this social media, just like I say, I always preach, you don't need to be one of these big PPC guys, marketing budgets. You could do make a living in real estate off your phone and social media, just telling people what you do. There's this guy called Tony the Closer. He's big on social media. I don't know if you heard of him, but I met him here in Phoenix. He had shared one of my posts. I tagged him, whatever. Cool. He has a big following. This guy, Xavier in Cleveland, reaches out to me and goes, hey, if you ever do deals in Cleveland, hit me up. Because he gets random DMs. I'm like, hey, I'm actually just starting there next week. I got to know him. I had no idea what to expect. It was a nice guy. I started doing the marketing. He already had the cash buyers and the lay of the land or kind of thing. So I was like, hey, how about I just bring the deals and you bring the buyers? Like you give me the intel. So when I get an offer, because I have no idea, like Cleveland's a different beast than Phoenix. So there's duplexes, side by sides, ups and downs, basements, roofs. Like in Phoenix, you're like, what's a basement? So it's furnace, heater. What's a heater? You don't even have that. You know what I'm saying? So that was the joint venture. It wasn't an official on paper business, but it was like, I bring seller, you bring buyer. We help each other out. I did 25 deals my first deal here with Xavier. I made half the money.
Yeah. But you move more deals, which means more exposure, which means that you just basically turn the faucet on and stuff keeps coming.
Yep.
Yeah, you do 25 deals. Somebody knows you. People know you. And then people find you because they want a deal done too. Yeah.
I got my contractor through him. I bought deals through him. I sold deals through him. I met my real estate agent through him. Like it was just, giving up half the wholesale fees paid itself off tenfold because it allowed me to buy rental properties and do what my real goal was.
So I like that concept. Mike, I share with people at times, some investors I've had the pleasure of working with over the years. And I had a gentleman a long time ago. He's passed on, but went down to the bank one day and said, hey, let me borrow some money. Country boy, good guy. Bought a house in what I could probably say was an area that was depressed, but up and coming. Bought a house in there, moved into it, worked on it, sold it, made some money, went back to the bank and said, hey, I want some more money. So the bank gave him enough money that he went and bought two houses, moved into one, fixed it up, put on the market, moved into the other one, started working on it, sold the first one, then borrowed more money, went and bought another property that he didn't turn into a rental. And he just kept going. And by the time I met him, I think he owned 140 some odd properties scattered across our area. And he was in this process of selling stuff off. So he had a bunch of rentals. And I joked with him. He's a great guy. I remember I did a deal with him, Mike, and closed escrow, 80 some odd $1,000 check. But he bought another house. He was working on it. I'm the agent. I go by and check on my folks and they're working on the houses just to, hey, what's going on? All that stuff. Just check in, so to speak. So I go by. I was going by to see him either that day or the next day. I said I would stop by. And I got a call from the attorney's office. And attorney's office called me and said, Colwin, hey, look, you remember such and such? I said, well, yeah. I said, yeah, we closed that, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. So the seller, he never cashed his check. I said, wait a minute, what? So I go stop by to meet him, but we're talking or whatever. I said, hey, man, I said, such and such attorney's office called me, said that you haven't cashed that check. He said, oh, he said, Bo, he said, look at that thing out there on the dash of my truck. I said, wait a minute. So he proceeds to walk me out to his truck. He got paper shoved scattered all over the dashboard. Like he gets some, he just throw it up on the dash. $85,000 check sitting up there on his dashboard. It'd been up on his dashboard for 2-3 months. Incredible. He told me, he said, man, I just go get checks out the mail. And that's what he had been doing. He had built himself up to that. So as I work with investors, Mike, that's the conversation I talk about or conversations I have, because you got to work yourself up to start with this, do that, this, that, and the third. You started on the wholesale side, but you got into rentals because rentals keep that check, keep something coming, a little something, and you get enough of them, pretty soon them checks add up. When I met that guy, he was getting rental income of 20 some odd thousand dollars a month was coming to him. And he had very little debt. Most of his houses were paid for because he flipped others and paid off the other mortgages. So the mortgages he had were very small. So he was cash flowing at least 15 or so thousand dollars a month. It was ridiculous. Wow.
A lot there. So if I could touch on a couple. So one, this gentleman you explained. So if you're listening, papers forgot to cast. Who in the right mind would forget to cast a check, right? Like in cars messy, truck, whatever it is. That's the real buyer. Like those guys, when you're online, I'm not here to like trash. Okay. What I'm saying is with the people online for you, when you're new and you're trying to get in the business or you're doing the business and you're just trying to make things crack off and you're watching the guy with the Rolex traveling the world on with the Lamborghini, those ain't the buy. They ain't the real guys. The guy you just explained, the guy with the jeans, with the weird clothes on, those are who you want to know. And those are people that you see at the RIA and you're like, you're looking for people with gold watches. You're like, no, man, that guy has 500 houses. That's the wisdom right there. Like that person you explained are the people you want to know, man. Yeah. Great point.
They work. When I first met him, he drove a panel van and with a trailer attached to it. And you see him, he would T-shirt. If it was a summertime, he had on shorts and some sneakers or something. But he would work. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally paint marks all over because he was working. But he was killing. Like you said, that was the buyer. He went in. Yeah. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew what it was going to cost him. He told you what he was going to offer. He paid cash. That was the end of it.
Simple. They know what they're doing. They're no beating around the bush.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Mike, look, we have quickly gotten towards the end of today's show, and I want to make sure that people know how to reach you because, again, you run like the largest RIA in the country. So for our listeners, guys, if you're in South Carolina, we do have a few RIAs around this area. We're connected to a RIA in Western North Carolina. Mike, how can people reach you, get more information? How can they plug in?
Yes, yes. Thank you. And the Arizona Real Estate Investors Association. So if you want to invest in Arizona or you're coming out here to invest, whatever it may be, we're your number one resource to come check us out. We'll get you everything you need to be an investor here in Arizona. So azreia.org, AZREIA.org. We're on all social media platforms. Just search Arizona Real Estate Investors Association, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We're always got content getting pushed out. So yeah, reach out anytime. My personal Instagram is at Michael Delpre. Check me out. Send me a message. But if I could say one last thing, because what you said in the beginning, your mission is about legacy and financial literacy, which is important here as well. We're not always just looking to just networking's huge and the fun building your business. All that stuff is important. But one thing, like you heard my story, working 9 to 5, looking for something better. Our goal is to help people just get one house. Even if you just bought one house, that will change one rental property, get the education, the resources, and one, and then you'll be like the gentleman you explained. Then maybe a year later you get number two. Maybe I got more confidence now. Maybe you'll get two in 1 year. Now suddenly you have four or five. That five rentals will change your life, your lifestyle. I'm not saying you're gonna be balling rich, but you will put your family in a better situation. And the key there though to the legacy, which I feel in the community sometimes gets confusing here, is yes, you're learning and getting the education and you're changing your life. But in order for that legacy to keep going, you have to teach the kids. You got to pass the education down, not just do it yourself, but tell the friends, the family, come to a training, watch a YouTube video, read a book. I don't care what it is, but you got to pass that information back down as well. So it keeps going. Because when you know, there's a lot of that story about lotto people, they win the lotto, then they lose it in 3 months. Otherwise, your kids are going to lose all your houses.
Exactly.
Whatever it is.
Exactly. So, Mike, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, my man, to be on the show with us today. I'd love to have you back on in the future to continue to share that energy, number one, but also to keep inspiring our folks to get started somewhere, to do something, to help further themselves, to help reach those goals and those dreams and those aspirations that they set before them. Because real estate is a vehicle that will expeditiously and efficiently get you down the road to wealth. So we know that, but we want to share that with others. So again, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Thank you.
So for our listeners, guys, look here, y'all know, hey, ain't nothing changed. Y'all know how I feel and y'all know what I say. Y'all know I always put the two of those things together and I say it to you this way, which is I love you. I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in those streets.